Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than waking up to a pool of water where one did not exist the night before.
Ooh, that really doesn't sound good.
Well, unless you were expecting some work, or you didn't know somebody bought you a surprise in-ground pool.
No, I was thinking more like depends issues.
Well, that's a problem, too. So, yes, we are better than that. You can join us in our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. If you're listening on one of our many wonderful affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click chat and go, and then you're in. I'm your host, Davin Rosebud. I am joined live in studio by Pippi Ulix.
Hi, everybody.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Yeah, if you're into that sort of thing, happiness and New Year.
Yeah.
We got good news tonight. We got good news and bad news about Joe. You, or maybe all good news or all bad news. Depends on your perspective. The good news is Joe Curry will not be late tonight.
Yay!
The bad news is he will not be here tonight.
He will not be here at all.
Well, maybe that's good news.
I am.
Well, there he is.
Wait a minute. You
ruined the surprise.
That sounded just like Joe.
It's like if I had a voice in my head that it inspired an ice pick to the brain, that's what it would sound like. Hello, Joe. Why aren't you with us tonight?
Because my tummy hurts.
No.
I got stuff rocketing out of both ends.
Rocketing.
Joe's tum-tum finally had enough of what his mouth was saying and said, you know what? We're going to stay home.
Yeah.
You like to spew this crap? How about it coming out two more holes?
Oh, stop poor it. Joe.
Oh, yeah. Never kick a man while he's down. That's why I punch him in the nuts.
Yeah.
You'll get yours tomorrow.
Trust me, I won't. We'll get there, but not a chance. It's like me versus the handicapped. All right, but we'll get there. We'll get that. We'll talk about what tomorrow brings.
Yes.
Later on. We have other things to get to. We got a good show tonight. So as you can hear, Joe's with us.
I know.
And this is a good thing because later on we're going to be doing one of our favorite year-end segments, in this case beginning of the year, Santa Claus Hell Gigs.
Yeah.
Yes.
We always love when other people than us and our fans can make Joe's life just a little more difficult.
Oh, yeah. And there was a couple.
I'm sure.
We're looking forward to those, so we'll hear some of those a little bit later on. We also have part one of our four-part interview with a romance scam victim who is fighting back and push the authorities to do more to catch scammers. They're actually working to catch her scammer, as a matter of fact. And so that's Tracy Douglas from Australia. We're going to talk to her, part one. That'll be fun. She's a fascinating lady. You're going to like that.
That sounds really interesting.
Of course, we're going to check in on scam baiter Sue and her young scammer stud muffin, Mickey Wynn.
Stud muffin.
Yeah, he's a young teen boy trying to corral the heart of a grandma.
Stud muffin just brought me back to the banana bread that our lovely Julia Vallis used to sell online.
What a lovely lead-in, Pip Ulix. Speaking of Juliana Vallis / Julie Love, I'm so glad you said that. It's like we actually rehearsed, which we don't.
No.
Rehearsed? What the hell is that?
Exactly.
What is that?
Well, it's funny you mention her. As you know, that case wrapped up a while ago. Match.com is getting sued again. We'll get into that down the line, but not tonight. But we actually, thanks to James, we actually finished the update on our website on the busted section on davinsden.com, where I have put a lot of evidence that I had alluded to in the past, but because the case was going on and I had been threatened at the time by the lawyer, I could not post. But now that they lost, it's all, most of it's there.
Yeah.
Including the threat from the lawyer.
You could
read what he wrote. You can actually now see the screenshots of a Vallis' boyfriend admitting that they take money from scammers. You can actually see how a Vallis is connected to Ghanaian scammers, how she's friends with them, and how she also started her own, if you want to call it an anti-scamming page, you can, where victims could report fake Juliana Vallis profiles. And you could see how in this group, I didn't put them in this picture, but there was a couple of anti-scammers who went against us, which is fine. You can do that, but you're wrong. And how in this very group, where they're mixed with victims, you'll see a Ghanaian scammer. He might be Nigerian. I don't know. He's the CEO of Exxon. $1 million man. I'm sure he's completely legit.
Of course.
So he sent all this to that dingrod lawyer of theirs, right? What was his name?
No, I didn't send it to Evan Spencer. Although it's funny, the journalist from the Post, Rich Calder, said, "I'm sure Spencer's loving this." I'm like, I don't think he knows. I mean, he wasn't listening when he should have been listening. But yeah, he looks like, so you guys go to the Busted page. I'll give you a little tidbit. One of the things on there, Spencer, in one of his threats, said, "I was taking advantage of a crazy person," meaning Craig Grant, the boyfriend.
Oh, because you left that right open in the air. That could have been, like, your co-host. Exactly. It's like, could have been anybody.
I don't take advantage. You knowingly...
taking advantage of a crazy person in court, wouldn't that be isn't there a thing of mentally, you're using something by somebody who's crazy, or...
You know, you described it about as well as Spencer. Yes.
That's what I'm asking you. Yes. You describe it better. Please do so.
Yes, you're not allowed... You're not... For instance, what's going to happen tomorrow on the Joseph Cumia show between me and Joe Curry, I would not be able to allowed to do in a court situation because, right, you know, Joe's not in his right mind. It's wrong. You can't do that type of thing. So it's illegal. But, so Evan Spencer said I was taking advantage of Craig Grant, who's crazy, and Juliana Avalos told me earlier that he was crazy. Unfortunately, a few days later, I posted, I found, and now that's online, you can see him, a couple videos with Craig Grant, one driving there, I want to say, 13-year-old son around. Looking and another,
probably about that,
and another one of Avalos loading up their young 2-3-year-old son into the car and then hopping in the back. So I ask you, if the father of your children's crazy, are you letting him drive around with the kids?
Well, you know what? She doesn't seem to have the best judgment either. So I don't know.
So maybe he is crazy.
Could be.
Well, it's all there. Whole bunch of other stuff. The only stuff that's not on there is the stuff that I've gotten from somebody who wishes to remain anonymous and does not want me to use that stuff. That will be used in a court of law one day, should ever be needed. But all the stuff that you will see, all the stuff, the articles, the evidence that we found that why we believe Avalos is not just helping scammers, but maybe actively receiving money from scammers and participating, it's all there. So I encourage you go to davinsden.com and check out the Busted page. James, our web guy, did a great job with it. It's very manageable now. I think it's broken up into 5 or 6 pages.
Great.
Just good stuff. There's video. There's PDFs in there, which you can scroll down and just see endless screenshots of exactly what we're talking about. So, yeah. You might want to check that out. I'm sure I won't be hearing. I'm a little disappointed I didn't get a Christmas card this year from the Avalos/Grant/Spencer Foundation. But so be it.
It would have been ticking.
What?
If you did, it would have been ticking.
Or covered in powder, and it wouldn't have been from cookies.
Yeah.
That's not nice.
No.
Are you inferring that they're not nice people?
We're expecting you to get, like, a love note.
I'm a lovely person. I don't know why they would say terrible things about me.
Because they did terrible things to other people.
That's possibly true. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So I encourage all to check that out. So we've been off for a few weeks.
Yeah. We've been off for a long time. Woo-hoo!
Right. Anyway.
Sorry, dude. I'm home.
Yeah, I know.
Something you can do about it, Joe.
I know. You can't even give her that look where you cross your eyes and go, "That was so bad, you're shocked by it."
I know.
I want you to remember that image that you've received often through the years.
Yes.
And when a joke like that spills out of your gullet,
I'll just replay that picture for myself.
Yes. I think we meet. It's not a GIF. What are those things where it's like you take the picture to?
Oh, it's an animated GIF.
Is that what? Yeah. Yeah. We got to make a GIF of Joe crossing his eyes. I have a feeling he'll be pushing and doing that later. But anyhow, I digress. So, I started off the holiday by getting about $1,000 worth of work on my car.
Really?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. I needed 4 new tires, front brakes, back brakes, rotors, grand right off the bat. What are you going to do? Cost of doing business, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Car's got 150,000 miles. These things are going to happen.
Yeah, oh. Mine's going in next week. I need front brakes and the major service. So, yeah, it's probably going to be $800 by the time I walk out.
Do you need rotors?
Probably. But you know what? It is a cost of doing business because we put on miles like... When I pull into the dealership and they go mileage and they look at the old miles, like, what's the matter with you? And I go, I work at night. You know?
We put on miles the way Ralphie May puts on pounds. Anyway.
oh, Christ.
That's right.
Yes. So I actually worked on Christmas Eve this year.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw your Facebook post.
Oh, okay, that's where everybody should go, to my Facebook page, and just see what I'm doing, because I spout it all there.
Well, how am I supposed to keep up with you?
You could call. You don't call anymore.
No, I don't. I stalk you online.
I like that, though. I like that, though. So, you know, it's a late spot. It's after midnight. And now I'm doing these spots again at the Broadway Comedy Club, and I'm going down during the week, and I'm not getting paid. And the last time I was really actively going in the city was... before my daughter was born and right after she was born.
Right.
But I've moved further away from the city. I used to live close to the city. I don't live close to the city anymore. Well, but, not too far, but.
But those kind of clubs, I mean, forgive me if I'm wrong. I don't know much about that particular club. But, I mean, those, I always associate those kind of clubs with bringer shows. For those not in the know, that means that you have to bring some of the audience with you.
Yes. That was not this.
Oh, okay.
They do regular shows there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not doing bringer shows. I'm not getting paid on these shows.
Yeah.
But I'm not, you know, I used to get paid at the other club, but I work up to that and everything. I just passed at this club a little while ago, and I'm happy to have the spots.
Yeah.
And the reasoning, you know, behind me going back into the city, where there's really not a lot of money is because, as I've talked about, the comedy career with, over the last couple of years has slowed down with my refocusing on this show.
Yeah.
I don't pursue the road work as I used to. And up until very recently, it wasn't even affordable to go on the road. But now gas is reasonable again.
Yeah.
So I could, but I just haven't really exercised those contacts, and a lot of the places I used to work are no longer there. So I'm trying to jumpstart my career going into the city.
So you stop going to those places, and the places close down.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is. No, some of them close down. Some.
So quiet, Joe.
Yeah. Sorry, my word is flourished, but nonetheless.
Don't you have two ply you should be giving your attention to?
I'm having a very nice cup of chamomile tea.
Ugh, hope you burn yourself.
There's probably a scorpion in it.
Those are expensive. No, just a regular tarantula.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm trying to jumpstart my career and everything. Because even it's better for the radio if I'm known in the city, I figure, as well.
Yeah.
So you see what that leads up to. So, you know, I call in every week. Sometimes I get avails. Sometimes I get booked. Sometimes I don't. Figure Christmas Eve, good chance for a Jew to work.
You know what? You're always taking our shifts.
I am. I do. I take the, you know, it's like a WFAN. They have like every Jew that's ever worked at WFAN, like work on like Christmas and Christmas Eve. Like Steve Summers does like a 24-hour straight marathon. It's the local sports radio station in New York, for those that don't know. But anyway, so it's like an after midnight spot. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in the city for a while. I was supposed to go in, and then it was the night that the Eric Garner grand jury verdict was revealed, where they wouldn't be a grand jury.
Right.
And as you know, people know, there was a lot of protests, mm-hmm. and those protests include the West Side Highway, which is what I need to get into the city and everything.
Yes.
So I called out. Only second time ever booked there.
Right.
And I called out. Now, here's the thing. Because I didn't get work the following week from them. So I was paranoid.
I would think that it was because they were being bitchy because you called out because there's like a riot on the way.
Well, I mean, logic dictates that they're going to be understandable. They know what's going on, yes. and everything. Unfortunately, I've been banned for less from luggage. breakfast buffets.
Yeah.
I mean, the country is strewn with places I'm no longer welcome. Never anything to do with what I do on the stage, just... You know, various nonsense.
Right.
So I'm usually a pretty optimistic and confident person. Or at least I try to be.
Yes.
But comedy takes that right away from me.
And Joe does his best.
Joe, well, yes, but it's that Joe can't, because at the end of the day, I go, it's Joe. So it's fine. So I was very happy to have this spot and everything. But I didn't know what the city was going to be like, because you had Mayor de Blasio asking for the protests to end, mm-hmm. and everything. But they were still ongoing and everything.
Yeah.
You know, you hear these stories, you see on the news how the city's up in an uproar. You got these protesters marching, you know, for police to be killed and everything. I believe this was right after those two police were murdered. Yeah,
yes,
it was.
It was not a good day to be driving in there.
No. So I really didn't know what's going to be at the city. I didn't expect a big crowd. I expected a few Jews.
Yeah.
That's really what I expected.
Wandering.
I didn't know what to expect. Why would I know? I mean,
right.
So I was a little apprehensive, but you know what? I got to work. I'm happy to work. So I go into the city, go down to the club. Club's pretty full.
Yeah.
MC's up there doing a great job, really has them all in a good mood. And here's the really cool thing. There's people from all over the world, because it's a holiday week, and people from all over the world come to Manhattan. But especially for the holidays, to see the tree and the Rockettes and all that good stuff.
And they want to go out and see various things entertainment and have a New York experience. And, you know, a lot of people associate New York with going to a show or going to see the tree, but also, like, you know, comedy.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm trying to remember, we had people from Jamaica and I want to say Brazil and Canada and Asia and New Jersey.
Oh, the most ethnically diverse of them all.
Exactly.
I met just New Jersey.
Exactly. And there was white people and black people and Jewish people and all these ethnicities. And they're all getting along and laughing.
Yes.
So it was like, oh, okay, this kind of makes sense. So I opened with two new jokes, which a comic, you really train not to do that. Don't open up with new material.
Yeah.
But anybody who knows me knows, like, I'm a kamikaze.
Yes.
And I'm just like, well, I got to get these jokes out there now. I'll make up for the mess I might create. I need to get these jokes out there now.
They're burning a hole in your pocket.
A more intelligent comedian like Joe will do new material, but he'll craft it in between jokes that he knows work. So,
right, exactly. There's a difference.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, Joe has to look a long time to find those jokes that work, but he still knows those jokes work. But that is what they train you to do.
Yeah.
You know, so you have them in a good mood, you do your new stuff. If it doesn't work, you got more great stuff coming behind it. You'll bail out of it.
Right, and then they're not sitting there going, oh, God, this guy's going to suck, because they're already confident that you're funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they don't get nervous like, oh, this is going to be bad. They wait for you to pick it back up.
Yeah, the first 30 seconds are the most crucial when you're on. That's what you get. You get about 30 seconds. They're like, all right, is this guy going to be funny or is this guy not going to be funny?
Right.
But you're trying new material up front.
Yeah. Because you know what?
As dumb as they come.
But, Joe, you've worked with me enough to know that I do that. Most of the new stuff in my act is now in the beginning of my act, because that's just where it is, because it's topical stuff and everything. I want to get it out there. It's edgier stuff. You know, I'm like, I have this stupid confidence that, you know what, no matter what I can do, I'll get him back. It'll be okay.
It usually takes about an hour. But, you know.
Well, at least I can talk for an hour, Joe. So what was the first joke? This is the first one. And you can only do this joke one night a year. And I thought of it on the way in, and I thought, well, actually, I thought of it sitting there. I said, listen, I'm a little nervous. I had a show earlier in the night. I got to be honest with you. It did not go well. They did not appreciate my dick jokes at midnight mass.
That's good.
You got invited back?
What?
You got invited back?
For midnight mass?
No, to the club.
That was the first joke. Settle down, stupid. There's more.
I thought he meant midnight mass. Oh,
that's what I thought. Yeah,
he killed at midnight
mass. Yeah, Joe, they asked for me to come back next year.
Yes. Yes, it's Christmas Eve. Bring the Jew. Bring the Jew. He's going to be born any second. Calm down. No, we want the comedian.
I thought it was a good joke.
Yeah, I liked it.
Men's amends.
No.
Not the way you want to start a set.
Oh, damn.
So, in lieu of that, I followed up with my other new joke.
Of course you did.
Of course I did.
You want to make sure you never have to come back.
Noted.
What's the matter with you?
Because I believe I can get them back.
All right. Don't dig your hole all at once. God almighty.
Don't dig your hole all at once. You're going to exhaust yourself. You're digging so deep.
God almighty, you should just jump on stage with a backhoe. Backhoe Charlie. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Let's watch him dig himself out of this one. Backhoe Charlie.
I admit it. It's not the soundest strategy. Did I not?
You just love the tightrope.
I do, but you know that about me.
I know.
That's what I love about this. I love the danger.
It makes me nervous, though, when I'm watching you, because I know I didn't know your act as well as I do. Like, I have a better feel for it now, your modern act. Mm-hmm. I knew your old one really well.
Well, the old one, there was a lot of backhoe material, Joe.
Yeah, he was working at the dump.
No, but even then, I had dangerous jokes with the N-word and stuff like
that.
Oh,
yeah. No, I know. But I mean, like, but when I see you get more confident and you go after the crowd, like, I dare you to laugh now. But I'm like,
I find threats work well.
Yeah, they usually do.
Sure.
And I'm like under the table going, oh, God, they're going to hurt him. I get nervous.
We'll get to that
you.
Story.
Okay.
There's another one of those coming tonight. Joe, pace yourself. I don't want you to have to do three underwear changes.
Oh, yeah, right. I'll get to that.
Joe's finally treated like the king he is. Oh, he's first Mike. No, he's on the throne. So the second joke is, go, oh, you know, it's just crazy. Something like this. You know, people are very upset about, you know, but can't see the interview, a Seth Rogen film and everything. Everybody's all in an uproar. Can you imagine the protests if Sony canceled the Tyler Perry film?
Oh, yeah, you said that one.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Men's immense.
Okay.
But when I mixed it into my corporate gig, the only time I did it before.
Yes.
For the Indians.
Right.
Very well.
See? Yeah. You don't know.
No, wait, okay. I'm like, all right, stupid. Get to the jokes that work.
I imagine was taking a piss during all this.
You know what? What did I have? Like a 15, 20-minute set?
Okay.
So, which is a long time in the
that
city.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, I've done 5-minute sets there.
Well,
yeah.
It's not like I'm not bragging because it's nothing to brag about, but Dangerfields, you do 25 there. And believe me, I'm not having a pissing con because we all know Dangerfields isn't really the city, but a nice place, but you do 20, you know, it's 25 minutes there.
Yeah, but most of the showcase clubs are not.
Mm.
But, so, you know, I mean, there was other comics doing about the same amount of time, but there was also the comic before me went on for 5 minutes. She did five minutes. So then after that, I dug out of it, and I did my regular act, and it went very well, and I did crowd work, and they were loving that and everything. And it was just really cool to see this whole room come together, because when you turn on the media and everything, it's so divisive.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you know whether it be black, white, this, that, the other thing, you know, we try to get torn apart as a nation.
Yeah.
Well, the media does, it's the media's fault, and the media does that on purpose.
Well, sure, that's why you shouldn't post everything you say. But
no, we'll get to that later.
but yeah, so it was really cool to do that. But I, you know, I left feeling good. I think I needed the set more for me than it was for the people at this point. You know, because now that I'm not performing as much, I really do appreciate my time on stage.
Yeah, well, it you're not going through, you're not phoning it in because it's new and it's a little bit more. I would venture to say that you're feeling a little bit more on edge because you're just getting back in the groove. It's not like you're going through the motions because you've been doing it night after night.
I don't remember the jokes as well, and you know, I'm just going through weird stuff in my own head. I mean, I just feel this immense pressure with this show that I've talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
My wife doesn't put any pressure on me, by the way. She's, like, completely supportive.
No, she's really good.
You know, as far as going through. But, you know, I'm not making what I used to make and everything.
Right.
But I feel this immense pressure. So when you can actually, like, just go and do a good job, it's like, okay, I can do this still. And I still like doing this.
Yeah.
Now, if only more people would agree to hire me, I could do this more often.
And more people liked it as much as you like doing it.
Sure, that's all. If more people enjoyed me as much as I enjoyed me.
Well, I mean, Trucker Tom, hi everybody in the chat room.
Hello, Denpen.
Yes, hi, Densters. And Trucker Tom says, I play better off of everyone else. I stink otherwise. Me staying out of comedy is doing everyone else's service. But I think he was more responding to Joe in the chat than he was talking to the whole group. But I think that that's a valid point because a lot of people don't understand that they could be immensely funny in a group or like bouncing back and forth, but when you're standing there and you're all alone, pretty much it's a different animal.
Listen, I mean, I like having co-hosts on this show. I've never really done an extended version of the show without somebody, so it's completely different for me. As a stand-up, I'm very confident by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
although the audience,
because you're so used to being there by yourself, you know, being there by yourself. And performing by, because you're the writer, the producer, you know which way you want to go, which in a group situation sometimes is kind of rough.
Right.
You know, and you're up there by yourself, but it's like, you know, it's fun being the writer, producer, making, you know, quick decisions and stuff like that. A lot of people that do it, you know, they say, oh, I make people laugh at parties. You're going to make strangers laugh every night.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference, and I always find it funny when you see these young guys or girls that go up, I can make people laugh, and they go up and they just bomb. Or stage, like they just walk through like Fallujah, you know?
It's
not as easy as it looks. It
it's
really
different.
Isn't.
Sorry, Joe. It's also different when they're there in a bar with a bunch of their friends, and their stupid friends are laughing at them, even though they stink on ice. And they think, oh, yeah, I killed last night. It's like, yeah, because your loser friends are laughing. The rest of the place is going, oh, God.
Well, a lot of times you go to these graduation shows with all these new comics, and they're there, and they're having a great night because all their friends and family are there.
Yeah.
And then you go, and that's like a Sunday night show. maybe you'll be at a mic on a Wednesday at a bar, and you go up and you just eat it. And you freak, oh, I did great on that show. I go, yeah, because your friends and family. I go, this is the meat and potatoes. This is where you got to learn. This is where you learn to, you know, earn your spots and stuff like that.
Well, Joe, it's funny you say eating it. Because the Broadway Comedy Club is a very positive experience. The manager on duty was happy with it. I haven't gotten booked back, so maybe Joe has a point about opening with the new stuff. But I'm confident I will. I mean, I personally thanked the owner in an email because he wasn't there, you know, and saying how much it meant to me, like, to be able to perform in this environment with everything that's going on and in our country, in our city, right, in the world,
yeah,
to just be able to do it, you know, really helped me. I really felt uplifted about things. And I try to stay positive. I really try to stay positive,
yeah,
on things. I'm trying even more this year to not be negative about things. So it really meant a lot to me. But some gigs, it's a little tougher to be positive about. Your pal, as is now becoming a tradition on New Year's Eve, had a hell gig.
Ah, let's hear about this.
Well, first we'll have to hear the music that Joe created.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't part of it, but it's a perfect thing. So, New Year's Eve. Last year was the show at the Orthodox Temple.
Yeah.
Where I mentioned where a woman started rubbing her hands. I said, I've never had somebody exfoliate during my show before. And somebody shouted, she has cancer!
Oh, God! Oh, I forgot about that.
What?
Did you open with that?
No, that was my last New Year's Eve gig, Joe.
No, but I'm saying, did you open with that?
No, I'll tell you what I open with. Settle down, stupid. I'll get there.
He wanted to introduce himself to the club in as positive of a manner as possible.
Well, this was also that. Remember last year, it was also the gig where some woman was working on this, like, new movie where it was getting great reviews with, like, big stars in it and everything. And she, like, she was doing sales for it or something. And I said, oh, you know, I'm hearing great things about the movie. You must be very excited, getting great reviews. She goes, it stinks!
Alrighty then.
So that was I followed the brisket, and the brisket did much better than me last year. where they called the agency, and the agency said, yeah, they didn't like you. And I'm like, yeah, the feeling was mutual.
Damn them and their cancer and their rubby hands.
Well, I pretty much told the agency, we can agree nobody was happy with this. So what could possibly go wrong? It's New Year's Eve. But I do this to myself, because I look at greenbacks and go, I need that.
Yeah.
So, I'm performing for a booker who recently passed away. So I'm dealing with his wife. I was a guy,
whoa,
who I worked with on producing
that's
shows
sad
and everything. Yeah, it was a nice guy.
Yeah.
He would always call me up, you sleeping? No, it's the middle of the day. I'm working. I'm not sleeping.
He's used to dealing with slobs, I guess.
Joe, he reminded me in appearance and mannerisms like a nice Steve Bix.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, kind of like that, a heavy-set little Jewish guy, you know, fat fingers. This guy had, like, gold rings and everything, but he was nice, but kind of like that gruffness and everything.
Right. You could work the Lehigh Valley anytime you want.
Yes. So, like, if you were ever going to, if, like, Bix ever had, like, the two little things on his shoulder, like the angel and the devil, which Bix doesn't, he just has a devil and a bigger son of a bitch devil. But if it was ever the angel, it would be this guy.
Okay.
But Bix doesn't have to worry about that. Takes all the guesswork out of it. I'm going to be a dick.
Yes, yeah. And here's a bigger dick. Rah!
Yes. So I'm doing a show in an assisted living home.
Lovely.
Yes. Yes.
I have visited people in these places, and the, you know, Jell-O time extravaganza kind of show is just really scary.
Well, I actually posted a picture on Facebook on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Before my show.
Yeah, I was reading it. I was looking at it in the green room at McGuire's.
Yeah, sure. You were having a nice time, stupid. I'm having great shows. Are you? Are you? Well, now look at you.
Full house, slammed twice. Great. I had my good pal with me the first show. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, now you're crapping your brains out. Enjoy your winnings. But, yeah, so it was like, well, I wouldn't even say blue hair because blue left the building long ago. These were white hairs.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
All white hairs. And I posted. I took a picture. I posted. I go, I don't know who's going to die first tonight, the audience or me.
I saw that post, and I was thinking, this is would be really terrifying if you looked around driving your car and this is all you saw in the cars around you. Terrifying.
But, you know, so a lot of times, or sometimes for these events, they have their kids with them who are in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Or sometimes even their grandkids.
Yeah.
And that really helps the show.
Yeah.
Because you got younger people to play to. They're having a good time. Mm-hmm. Then the older folks loosen up and everything.
Yes.
It can be okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes also, you know, you look at them, they're like, wow, they're all very old. This is going to stink. But they have a young spirit about them.
Yes.
And they're great. And I love shows like that.
That surprise you.
Yes. This was not that.
Oh.
Lots of walkers.
Wait a minute. I love
the equipment.
I love the walking down. I was thinking,
some heavily medicated folks.
Yes.
Let's see. How else can I describe
you
this?
Wishing you were?
Yes. See, now, I looked around. I didn't know this was going to be this gig.
Yeah.
I looked around, you know, because you kind of check out your surroundings before you go on.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, like, a cafeteria where they eat. And I saw I came on the wrong day.
Uh-oh.
Because on Monday, the special was a bologna sandwich with potato salad for
$5.75. That's a ripoff. I wouldn't pay that. Fuck you.
You got nowhere to go, Joe. You know what? Well, but here's the thing about bologna. It should never be a special.
No, it is not special.
Bologna's fine when you're nine. It's a lovely meat when you're working the Atlantis and you can't afford to eat in the restaurants.
That was hitting close to home. Huh?
Sure, but bologna. There should never be a bologna special.
That's the saddest thing.
But
ever.
The people who built this place were very smart. Because they build it not more than half a block away from the hospital. This is just good thinking right here.
That is good, like, social public planning.
Yes. So their New Year's Eve celebration started at 7. No, excuse me, I'm sorry. Started at 4.
Oh, no.
New Year's Eve celebration started at 4.
No.
It will wrap up by 10.
This is going to make it that far?
I don't know. I mean,
just in general.
I don't know. So, the pretty lady who works there will be bringing me up. Young, blonde, pretty girl.
Okay.
She was about 73?
Shut up, you. No. She was younger than you.
Yeah.
And more attractive. And quite frankly, more pleasant. So, she urges the people. Well, I mean, there's a speech given and everything. I'll get to the speech. And they do their champagne toast at 8 o'clock.
Well, you think if you turn back the clock like that, the longer they have to live.
Yeah. They all made it for the toast.
It's the early bird special.
Up 4 hours, you get another 10 years out of these people.
All right, Marty McFly, I guess. So she urges the people not to have a repeat of a few years ago and walk out.
Oh, no.
Always a great intro.
Yeah. You boys and girls, be nice for this young man. Oh, God.
She says how happy, you know, she's like, you know, I just had a baby, and, you know, people ask me, aren't you upset about being here? It's like, no, I'm thrilled to be here. I didn't buy it for 1 second.
Dean, I'm not going to be here next year. I'd have odds, you know. I'd go around a little chart, you know, like the football pool.
Is that how you would open?
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't do that, but behind the scenes, all right, I got 10 to 1. Mabel ain't going to be here next year. Gladys, Henrietta. Bill, yeah. What do you guys got? I put a pool together.
That's
the next thing you meet before the gig and start, you know, see who won.
That's a crowd work, the death pool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You bet. You're doing a hell gig. You might as well make a couple of bucks. I don't know if you can move merch. You might as well make something on a lottery.
Move merch.
It's like, Paul, you in the corner. I said, Paul, you in the corner. What's the death pool on you?
Just turn the light on and watch them all walk to it.
Actually, one of these, because I had done one of these, they bussed him to his place, and it was like all these old people, and one of the jokes I said, this was many years ago, for the same booker, I said, when God said, let there be light, one of you hit the switch. But I didn't do that this time.
One of you hit the switch.
I didn't do that this time.
Take me a second. Did they laugh when you said that?
Years ago?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I try to block out painful memories. That one, they complained. Oh, yeah, they complained. It didn't go well.
I can't imagine.
So, the outgoing president, because I guess they have like a members association.
Okay.
Gives a speech. He said it was a very good 2 years. I guess they served 2-year terms.
Oh, That's really ambitious for that kind of place.
I think we should do this on a weekly basis. Elections every Wednesday.
How do you elect people in the old homes for 2 years?
Well, yeah, no, he has a good ticker. <He's> got,
okay.
So I go up. You know, they have a big band. Some people are dancing. Not a lot. So I'm on the big dance floor. I don't perform on the stage because there's a big dance floor, and if I'm on the stage, I'm too far away from them.
Right.
So it's not a good setup and everything. So I say, and there's a lot of people there. It's very deep. I say, it's great to meet an outgoing president who is still popular. I thought that'd get a laugh.
Yeah. Oh.
I would figure it'd get a laugh.
Yeah. Too.
You would think. Got a couple of chuckles.
Oh, dear.
I say President Obama will probably say it's been a good 2 years as well. somebody goes, he's been in office for 6. I know, stupid.
Oh, no.
I thought that's a very good joke.
Yeah. Miss Reuther, is that my third grade teacher out there? Yeah, thought so.
Being literal with you.
yeah.
They are. So they're not only on their death's door, they want to prove a point.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So the material goes over meh. I can't do a lot of my current event stuff because, quite frankly, they haven't had a current event since the Ford administration.
Well, then you should have done FDR jokes.
Yeah, really?
No, he's in a wheelchair, folks. You didn't know that?
Where were you when I needed you?
So, it's like if you try to make the old stuff current. So I was working out on the WPA the other day.
Yeah, right.
I think I said something about the internet. Or for you folks, the Pony Express. So I'm trying to work the crowd to talk to them. Because I find a lot of these times, if you engage them, it goes okay.
Well, because that keeps their attention, because you know that there is no attention span, or they'll be snoozing.
Senior citizens in this type of setup and small children, talk to them. It's usually the best strategy.
Either pay, get their attention, or they'll be screaming for rice pudding in a couple of minutes or something.
Yeah.
It's the rice pudding. You get heckled by people that want rice pudding.
We're
getting yourself.
We're getting there.
Oh, no. I think I called it.
So I'm talking to this couple, and they're sitting close to each other and everything.
I'm sorry. Gone Rogue Radio is listening to us in the chilly Midwest right now.
Hello, Gone Rogue Radio.
And Gone Rogue is visiting our chat room at the moment and said, you have to do green stamps jokes.
Green stamps jokes.
You are so young, you don't remember green stamps.
Jesus Christ, Pippi doesn't remember.
He doesn't know.
What the hell's a green stamp?
And I'm not trying to be a dick.
You can't help yourself.
Shut up. You don't remember green stamps, do you?
No, I have no idea.
No, there used to be this book. You get green stamps like when you would go to the supermarket with your mom. Your mom would get all these green stamps.
Like at the Brady Bunch?
I don't know.
Remember where like Marsha or Jan, one of them had to save up for a bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
All these green stamps. Okay. You would get them every time you go to the supermarket, and you have these, and you would get the green stamps. H&H Pip or whatever the hell he was.
Yeah.
H&H green stamps. You would get them, and you would get stamps, and you would, you know, collect the stamps, and then you would buy, you know, go collect stuff.
I think you would get them at the A&P too.
Yeah, A&P. I remember my mom. You know, we used to have the book, and my mom used to get it. Everybody got that.
Well, who the hell knew I should employ you, Joe Curry, in Gone Rogue Radio for a writing session before I did this stupid gig?
Now you know.
Now I know. For next New Year's Eve, right. I know who to contact.
You know, now you have your writing staff.
You know what? The way this is going, next year I'll probably be playing a seance. Just be bringing back people. Yes, we'd like you to talk to Uncle Arthur. Where is he? He's on the other side. Here's your Ouija board. You won't need a mic. Get to the funny, stupid.
John Rogue says probably 80% of them had Alzheimer's. You could have done the same.
There was Alzheimer's. I know.
Well, he goes, you could have done the same joke 17 times and then said, thank you, good night.
Go on, Rogue, kill yourself. That's every half of it. But I've actually performed in front of Alzheimer's patients.
Yes.
They were all Alzheimer's patients. I know I didn't do the hack thing. Again, I just talked to them.
Oh, God.
They won't remember. But the good thing about that is they're not going to remember how disappointed they were on New Year's Eve.
No. They were still flashing back to Vietnam. They had no idea what you were talking about.
So I'm talking to this couple. Are they married? Are they dating? They're very uncomfortable. Fine. You're 80. Who the F cares? So then I work the other side. And the crowd work is going okay. You're not going to get everybody, but if I can get one table at a time,
right.
That is really all I'm going for at this point.
Uphill climb with your walker.
I did not promote the radio show on this gig because I figured radio, they're going to try to tune it in old-timey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, with that old Heterodyne radio. Ah, Martha, it's time for Davenstein.
Wait a minute, does that come on after the Lone Ranger?
It's right, yeah, right after the Whistler. Davin's Den Radio on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
We should be so lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I work the other side of the room, and I'm talking to this woman. She's got a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just, like, wired and everything. She's, like, telling me how, like, she stays up late. She doesn't get sleep. She has a dog.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, what are you drinking? Is that coffee? He's like, no, I have one decaf a day. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to see you on Starbucks. So she's wired, but she's having a good time with it and everything. And her table's having a good time with it. It's a nice conversation. Finally, somebody with a pulse. I'm pleased. So I move along. And now there's a guy starting to walk out. I'm like, oh, don't go. This will be over soon, because it will. I'm not sticking around long.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, I don't want you talking to that woman.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Was that his little girlfriend?
I'm like, what? Like, you should leave her alone. He goes, leave her alone. I go, I'm not bothering her.
Jeez.
You should leave her alone. I go, I think you should leave me alone.
He thinks you're the Kaiser.
God damn it, where the hell were you to mutter shit when I could have used you on New Year's Eve? For once you're funny and I could have used you! I forget, if there's one thing Joe Curry brings to the show, it's dated references. And this is the... You would have been better for this gig, Joe, than I would have been.
No, I would have stayed right where I was. I was having a very good night.
Well, it makes one of us.
Yeah.
So this guy's all confrontational. This old guy's up in my face!
Really?
Yes!
That's so weird.
Yes!
Now, did you get...
You should have shocked his walker and split.
Did you get any explanation why he was, like, all upset about that particular woman?
We'll get there. We'll get there. But he's all up in his... all up in my face. I'm used to this at the dive bars.
Yeah.
When the drunk's up in my face. You know, I'm used to somebody being pissed off because I talked to the girlfriend on stage. When they're 20s and pumped up on testosterone,
yeah.
And their back knee hasn't popped yet, and they're a little uncomfortable as they sit, and it's starting to leak through their silk shirt. I get it. I get it.
That is quite a smell of vision.
I get it, Joey. I understand why you're upset. My bad. I didn't mean to talk to Tara. I know her Irish family isn't happy that she's bringing home a grease ball like you. I get it. I expect those confrontations. But when you fought the great one, let it fucking go when the comic's doing jokes.
Oh, that's funny. So what did you tell him? We want to dance, old man? Want to dance?
Look at Joe. By the way, when Joe is confronted with a heckler, none of this comes out, by the way.
Of course not. And of course the guy goes, oh, yeah, you want a Lindy? I can Charleston like the best of them.
I think none of this comes out. Like, I'm going to threaten to fight an 85-year-old man.
What?
Yeah, well, yeah, you're all raring to go when it's not you. And it's like, okay, Gramps, outside.
But I did not back down.
No. I wouldn't imagine.
So I get the wrap it up sign, thankfully.
How many minutes in?
What?
How many minutes in? Like 5?
No, I did 15.
Okay.
Which is all she said I had to do. I was hired for 30. She's like, listen.
That's all they can handle, and I'm not being funny. That's, you know, at that age, they can't handle, you know, much more.
At that age, I don't think they're going to handle 60 seconds of me, Joe. I don't think these were my folks.
Same attention span as kindergartners.
So the woman gives me the young pretty girl. So she tells me to wrap it up. So she apologizes to me about the way they behaved, about the way they acted and everything.
Right.
Oh, although I did hear as I was wrapping up, one of them goes, it's the wrong comment. This isn't his crowd. Really? Whose crowd is it? The people that used to play you guys are dead. And when you saw them, they were young, like you. You know, do you want me to get Cosby? Do you want to have that black man, Mabel?
Yeah. You know what? You could just, like, go into the acts of old-timey comedians and they wouldn't know any better.
But that's what works.
I
don't have those jokes, but they also wanted me to keep it clean.
Just keep calling people hockey pucks. Old people apparently loved that.
Don Rickles?
Yeah.
So she's apologizing and everything, and she's saying these people are horrible. But she was telling me that woman that I was talking to, The one who was enjoying it?
Yeah, the one who was all revved up on her own natural caffeine.
They tell me, she tells me, that they all treat that woman like crap. They're all mean to her.
Oh. So he thought that you just, like, had this natural bullying radar, and you went in for the jugular with the poor smelly girl from everybody's school. You know what I mean?
I don't know what the hell they would think. They're all mean to her. I'm actually showing her a good time, treating her like a human being. She said they treat her like crap.
And he got mad because you were talking to her because he was defending her, or because it's like, don't have fun with the awful one.
I don't know what it was.
Let me tell you something. In the old age homes, if you have people that are really sick or Alzheimer's and stuff like that, my aunt was telling me a story. There's a friend that she had, well, a person that used to sit with them at the home there, mm-hmm. and the social club for the old people, and she had Alzheimer's. Now, you would sit there as, you know, a younger person and go, oh, the poor thing, we got to be nice. All the older people is like, she can't remember shit. Well, I don't want her sitting near me, because they're the same age. They have no compassion. They all went through the same stuff, and they're the same age, and they've been through the World War II, and the Depression, and all that. It's like, so, you know, if you see an Alzheimer's patient, we have to be understand, which you should, but they're like, she can't remember shit. Yeah.
But
I don't care.
But there's other people who have Alzheimer's there, but for some reason they've singled this one out. Now, the young girl says she has, like, autism or something. I don't know what it was, but okay. I couldn't tell what she was. But she comes up. And now that guy's there, too.
Oh, boy.
When I'm talking to the pretty girl. And she's like, I had a good time. She's like, you know, yeah, you were fine and everything. And the guy's like, well, you know, you got to know when to walk away. I go, it's my job to read people.
Yeah.
She was having a good time.
Yeah.
That table was a good time. I go, no. I go, you just wanted to make a spectacle of yourself and draw attention to yourself. That's what you wanted to do.
You said this to his face?
I did.
Nice.
Are you new here? Of course
no,
I did.
No, I know. I'm just like, I didn't know that you had the opportunity to, like...
Well, if he's going to come up and wants to talk further...
Yeah,
He's like, I didn't want to draw attention to myself. I go, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten right in my face.
Right.
I go, you wanted to draw attention, and you did.
Yes.
And, you know, now the pretty lady's like, see, she had a good time and everything.
Yeah, so calm yourself.
And he's like, well, you know, I was just going to ask you to dance. I'm like, well, you still could.
Yeah.
So...
You know, what a crotchety old Methuselah with a full diaper.
Yeah.
What a pain.
Yeah. It's like, are you trying to be a knight in shining armor? Because 99% of the time, apparently you're a douche. And if you get up in the comic's face, clearly you want to draw attention to yourself. And you know what? There might be a lot of comics that are shrinking violets, and I used to be with that.
Right.
But not anymore, because I don't work as it is.
Put it this way, what do you got to lose? The booker's dead and most of the audience will be next year. So go back.
A kinder, gentler Joe Curry for 2015.
It actually is, believe it or not.
Tom's...
It's a 2015 Joe Curry compared to the 2013 Joe Curry.
That guy was a prick.
Oh, thank God. Oh, yes. Big difference. Tom said he had to get in Davin's face because he has glaucoma and he couldn't see where Davin was standing.
It was nice to have somebody in my face that was approximately my height. Doesn't always happen.
I was yelling at the coat rack. And furthermore, and put your arms down. You want to fight? You want
to fight? You got
your coat rack.
This lady
tells... Stop stealing
clothes. The pretty lady tells me that these people are so bad. She had a baby not too long ago, and she looked great and everything.
That's great.
And they go to her, are you gaining weight? You getting fat?
What?
Yeah. Now, she's like, you know, I said I was happy to be here. She's like, I hate these people. I go, I didn't believe you for 1 second that you liked them. You're not that good of an actress.
You got to understand, little babies, like little toddlers and old people are the same thing. You don't give a shit what they say. Toddlers haven't seen enough, and the old people seen too much, and they don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'm one of those, too, because I don't care, usually.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were making comments about how these ladies were ripping into each other. Don't forget, those bitchy cheerleaders, that's what they grow up to be.
Yeah.
Is these bitchy old ladies.
Here's the funny thing, though. Well, there's a lot of this, I guess, is funny because it's a hell gig. So the lady who hired me goes, she's apologizing and everything. She's like, oh, is this the worst gig you've ever had? And I'm thinking, no.
No.
Go on a highlight reel.
Yeah. And, like, you know, but here's the thing. I'm just not fazed by it so much anymore. I mean, it still sucks when you're going through it. I mean, if I had to do 45, it would have been terrible. But it's like, well, no, because it was relatively short. I've been on stage.
Yeah, 15. 15 is like, it's not that bad. But you know what? Even at a 15 in a show like that, you look down and you go, seven? Only seven? Yeah.
Well,
you
know,
it's like, I would have figured that was at least a 12. Seven?
Well, I actually said, I go, wow, hasn't this year flown by? And they go, yeah. I go, except for these past few minutes.
These past few minutes have been the last 3 years.
But, Joe, you were with me when I had a similar situation where I was just where I didn't understand what was going on. Remember we did that reunion in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And we were told how cool these people were. These guys were like all the bikers and everything. They're really cool. And we get there and they're not. And they're just drinking coffee. And I asked this one, just bantering a little crowd work. Were you part of the cool crowd? And somebody gets up and go, you're being mean.
Yeah, well, that was also the night the agency told the people were going to be there.
Right, but it was the same type of thing, though, Joe, where I really wasn't being mean.
No.
And I'm blindsided by, like, what the hell's going on here?
Wait, pardon me, did the nicey-nice police just show up?
You'll know what I mean. Joe and Pip have a radar built in at this point.
Oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Ducking for cover.
So that sucked. But the good thing is, it was early. I got home, watched some Empire Strikes Back, saw the ball drop. So I get a call over this break from Arise TV. That was the station I was on to talk about scamming and everything.
Yes.
They wanted me to talk about the Sony hack situation, which we had just talked about on our last show before we took our break and everything. And this is a little different, though. I mean, first of all, it's 2 months later, so that's pretty quick to go back on one of these shows and everything.
Right.
But this is different now because they're taking me out of the scammer thing, and they're starting to branch me out.
Right.
And everything. So I was pretty happy about that.
That is good, because then they have a pigeonholed you as you can only talk about one topic and
exactly.
One topic only.
I mean, it's still...
doing the weather in no time.
Only if he wears that cute
and
little
you know
dress.
What? You know whose birthday I won't announce, Joe? Yours.
I don't really celebrate him, so that's all right.
Neither does anybody else. Anyway, I move on. So, well, you know, I said on our show that I didn't think that North Korea was necessarily behind it.
Right.
And everything, and I gave a bunch of reasons and everything. So they really liked that thing. So I was on Saturday morning. I should have the clip online soon. But the producer who produced that segment, Jill, was very happy with it.
Nice.
Very happy with the segment. She thought it flowed great. I was only with one of the girls' kids, Rain Pryor and Priya, who are the two co-hosts. And it was just Priya on a one-on-one interview, and she remarked, she's like, you know, I just, like, love talking to you. It's always so conversational.
Yes.
And everything. Yes. And that's really what I try to do with these things. I try to make it as easy on the producer who hired me, the co-hosts, and that's my first thing, make it as easy on them as possible, and then just, like, try to present information to the people in a relatable, entertaining way. That's really my only way I look at these things, because I've never really done this before, where I'm, like, now this expert. Which is, you know, I know if I say an expert on hacking, Joe immediately assumes I'm talking about my act.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, not to downplay your skill at this, because you are a natural at it.
No,
I mean,
not
to say that it doesn't take, you know, a certain amount of, you know, being well-spoken and also being up on the topic and just being able to have a conversation like that, because it's not easy to be interviewed because people get tongue-tied.
I just look right into the host's eyes. Like, I'm having a conversation with the host. I don't look at the TVs, the camera, you know, I don't look at any of that stuff. I forget that we're in this big studio and there's all these people. I'd be excellent at porn if it wasn't for the penis size thing. And I just focus on the person that's really...
And you met the other guy.
What?
Never mind.
That was a gay joke?
Yes.
Okay.
It was. If you just focus on the other person you're speaking to, it makes it easier. But the other thing about it is not just nailing the interview that you have like you did, but when you go out of your way, not in a smarmy way, but you are accommodating and you make yourself easy to work with, that's what rebooking is about. Because, I'm no terrific actress, but when I did community theater, I got callbacks for roles, I think more often, and some one of my friends told me, because I was easier to work with than some of the other pains in the ass that were up there for the role.
And I think another thing that we both share is, because we're very, you know, we want to succeed, is we're both willing to provide oral.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, is very important for rebooking, if you're good.
I know.
You don't want to be tongue-tied.
No, you don't want to be tongue-tied for that, unless it's tongue-tied with somebody else.
If they insist.
If that's the precursor. But I'm really pissed because apparently, from what I've heard, you're better than me. So I need some tips.
More practice.
Yeah.
It takes a lot to get to my dining room.
I'm finally out of the basement.
But I did not hear from the agent. The agent's been sick. I don't know if he was sick over the weekend. So it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of frustrated with the guy who we have who's supposed to be handling our show and everything. Because like show business, all these promises are made. And
yeah.
I'm just like, you know, what's going
and
on?
You're just learning this?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. But, Joe, unfortunately with this, there's a lot of things that are out of my control. I can only do so much. And you know the next step that we're doing to try to push the envelope. You know, I mean, you come up with all these schemes and harebrained ideas to try to somebody take notice. But, I mean, I think I can do this. I think I can be, like, an expert on these shows. I go, listen, if you want somebody who's outspoken with opinions on topics, I go, I can do that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I really thought they were just going to call me back for all the scammer stuff that we do. But I'm much happier if they call me back for other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you wear that three-piece suit with the vest?
It wasn't a three-piece suit, Joe. It was a nice shirt. It was a nice tie, and it was a vest.
You look like you were running with the Dalton gang. Nah, see, let me tell you about Sony. See, huge mugs.
I forgot, Joe. As opposed to your appearances, where you dress in a dress and bring a triangle.
And have more people listening than that show.
So, oh, what'd he say?
And have more people listening than that show.
Hold on for a sec.
Not really. Not really, Joe. I don't think so. You forget you told me how many people turned out in T-neck for you.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, he said, hold on. I think that the reason that he's not in the studio has probably come to pass.
He's probably searching for his act.
I was plugging my phone.
Oh, okay. But
it was good. It was good, you know.
Sounds good.
I'll hopefully get that video clip, you know. You know, we lament about our tech issues and, you know, why don't things get done and this, that, the other thing. But, you know, their website is having issues. It's been for like a week. They don't have video up on their website.
Oh, my really? God.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on over there.
Dude, I see stuff like this happening all over the place, you know, unless even major places have glitches. So,
yeah.
You know, you can have all the money in the world, but the internet is not kind.
Well, supposedly this time the show was... They did plug the show. They did plug the show
nice.
At the end and everything. And I haven't seen it. Obviously, I haven't seen the image, but I guess our website was plugged and everything. DarrenDen.com and
great.
Everything. So, all good stuff.
That's great.
All good stuff. And, Joe, you know what? I'm going to keep on wearing different things. You know? I'm not going to always wear a sweatpants and a t-shirt for these things.
Wearing one now.
Yeah, of course you are.
Of course you are.
Just put on pants.
No. It'd take too long to get them off.
Yeah.
So then, you know, it was a pretty good couple weeks, you know, over the Christmas. And then something happened on Sunday. I wake up before my wife.
It was a pretty good couple weeks, and then something happened.
Yeah, I wake up before my wife usually. I hang out in bed for a little while because she notices when I'm gone.
Right.
She gets upset. I don't turn on the TV out of respect for her because
okay.
It'll wake her up. So I go down to the basement where we usually do our show.
Yeah.
We're not in the den tonight. This is Davin's dining room tonight.
Yeah.
Because I stepped down, and the carpeting was not the same color it usually is.
Oh.
It turns out... We had some water.
Yes.
Yes. It turns out our water heater went. The shutoff valve went.
That's the...
So it wasn't just 40 gallons in the actual water heater.
Yeah.
It's about 200 gallons.
What?
Spilled into the basement.
Oh, God, because it kept refilling itself.
Yes.
Oh, Christ. I didn't realize it was that extensive. I thought it was the water heater dumped out and that's it.
No. No. So then we had to have the guy come over. He came over that day, replaced the water heater. He's like, you're going to need new carpeting.
Yep.
It's a Berber carpeting. You know.
Like that. Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, I was still optimistic that, you know, you get enough dehumidifiers in there and the fans going, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be optimistic. I wanted to salvage it and everything.
Yeah, at that point now, when it's completely saturated, You can't. You have to pull it up because you'll get black mold underneath.
Yeah,
it
I was just going to say.
Don't be racist.
Exactly right.
Don't be. Why's it got to be black mold? That's the problem with these black molds constantly infecting the white man.
You know, it's black mold on black mold crime.
Yeah, Joe actually has a video of black mold growing. You can expect him to post it soon. Joe, this is the worst video ever. I have a point! Look at this black mold grow! I think he's in the bathroom.
Are we both done?
What? No.
Why don't you both hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
I think we might. I won't sing, though, because I want our listeners to keep listening. I'm terrible at this. So we got to get a new water heater. That's $950.
Yeah.
That's $950.
On top of the auto repairs now.
Yeah. Right. So then we have the disaster. The disaster team comes in. They come real quick. The insurance company calls them.
Why don't you call them in now?
You didn't hear the knock on your door? What did you think? That was the tidy bowl man, stupid?
Yeah, they come in, they start taking the console, the mics. No.
Yeah, funny's funny.
That's funny.
All right.
Yeah. Joe's going to need the tidy bowl man later.
I got to tell you, I think Joe's funnier when he's not here.
He's funny sick.
Joe is very funny sick.
Let me tell you, a full day of work and a two-hour drive in rush hour traffic will fucking kill you. I mean, I got home.
No, that's not true. You keep coming back. But no, it's obviously very draining to wake up early, go to work, and
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's really, really difficult.
Can't relate. Anyway, so so they came. They did an assessment. They came yesterday. All the carpeting's gone.
Yeah,
ripped up the underneath it, so it's just the cement. You know, there's some damage. I don't think we lost too much electrical equipment and everything. Maybe a cable or something.
Oh, good.
But, like, obviously the board's working. The TV seems to be working and everything. But, like, we had just cleaned the basement. We've done
yeah.
So now, like, everything's in the middle. They're moving it around. So now there's, like, right now as we speak, there's fans and blowers going and everything. So
you're doing a porn down there?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. Now, you had that one little closet off in the corner. Was there stuff in there that got wet, too?
To your right?
The
one behind you. Because we got two of them. Because the one behind you is where the water heater is. The one behind where Joe sits is just like another little, it's not really a closet, but where you have the switches.
The panel.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're not really closed. Yeah, no, a lot of stuff was destroyed and everything.
Yeah.
What about the couch?
Couch is fine, Joe.
Ugh.
Couch appears to be fine. One of my CD holders seems to have bit the dust. But it's just a process. My wife's, like, really stressed out. She hasn't gone to work the past couple days because we're having people in and out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got to see how much they're going to give us for it. Because, you know, truth be told, I said, you know, we're not going to stay in this house for that long. You know, we're looking to move out of here and everything.
Right.
But I don't think it makes sense to put carpeting down again.
No.
So, you know, it's just a process. It's just aggravating. And then yesterday I started my car. My car decided to make a clicking noise. So it's fun.
Wait a minute. On top of all the other repairs, now there's something else?
Well, the other stuff was maintenance, you know, tires and brakes and everything. But, you know, it's like the car said, you know what? I'm not getting the love I need to get at a click, click, click to you.
I need some more pampering on my starter.
So now you do
what? Cup the starter.
Now you do what every poor person does. Go, well, I'll just turn up the radio and ignore that noise.
Yep.
It's just clicking to the beat. Yep. Maracas.
Every French truck I ever had a very good radio. A lot of problems.
So that's where we are with that. It's been an eventful couple of weeks.
Oh, man. I am tired from the Noah's Ark adventure.
It's all right.
And I just heard
about it. I'll show you the basement later.
Yeah.
You could go down there and everything. But, you know, it's upsetting. I like doing the show in the basement because I kind of feel like we're secluded.
Yes.
It's different doing here. I mean, it's nicer up here.
Oh, no. I like your basement.
I do, too. I miss my basement.
Yeah.
We're down to one TV.
What? Down to?
Yeah, well, down to one television. Because we got the one upstairs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, but all right. We should probably take our first break.
Yes.
I think that would be the thing to do because we're going to come back with some Santa Claus Hellgig stories, which are always enjoyable. Joe will tell us those stories. So, Pip,
yes.
If you could tell the lovely folks where they can hear our show.
Yes, we are going to inform them right now. You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday on davinsden.com. iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, HawkRadio.net is back, and Gone Rogue Radio in the freezing Midwest. And on iHeartRadio, you'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices, platforms including BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. And you can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, and RuthlessRadio.fm. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.